Welcome to the Forward with Purpose podcast. Your hosts are Linda Keener Thomas from the National Memorial for the Unborn and Mindy Lefishore from An Even Place Virtual Abortion Healing Groups and Coaching for Pro-Life Ministry Workers. We understand the power of addressing the abortion wound, which then allows us to confidently stand in the gap for the next person. We also understand how lonely and heavy this work can be. This podcast is designed to connect you with other leaders doing this work, to learn from the vast wealth of knowledge and experience that is out there. God has designed you for greater things. God has commissioned you to a precious and sacred place in abortion recovery ministry work. It is our hope you are encouraged and equipped as you move forward with purpose in your ministry. Welcome to the Forward with Purpose podcast. Linda is here with me today, and we're just going to be talking amongst ourselves and about just some things that we're hearing other leaders ask questions about, or new leaders asking questions about. And so it's just going to be a conglomeration of different kinds of topics. But I think one of the ones that that Linda and I both, you know, you and I both have had some struggle with, personal struggle with recently, is basically how when the ladies aren't really, when they're stuck, they're not so stuck that they need to be referred out, which is another topic we'll talk about, but they're just to the, like, they can't get through their anger, or they aren't accepting truth to be able to move fully through denial. They think that they're okay, when we know, we can tell that they're not, you know. And so I just want to have you just dealt with this with the gal in terms of the denial piece. So I'm going to have you tell about that a little bit.
Okay, sure. We just finished a virtual group up with a young lady, 4 months, I believe, out from her abortion. So it was fairly fresh. She was a believer, is a believer, but she still felt like it was the best thing that she made the choice that she had to make, that it was the best thing that she could have chosen. And we went all the way through the study. There were others in the group, so we had to keep moving forward. She agreed with the scriptures. She read the scriptures. She did her homework. She was studying. But still at the end, she would come back to that. And, you know, I think it somewhat comes down to us as leaders. We get this prescribed thing that we journey pathway that we expect people to walk down. And when they don't, we can feel like we failed or feel frustrated with them that they haven't done what they need to do, you know?
Yeah.
But is that truly God's path for them? I guess is where to come down on it. Is God's timing.
Right.
We are faithful to present the truth and plant those seeds that we know God is going to water. He is the one. And this goes all the way back to Crisis Pregnancy Center Volunteer Training 101.
Yeah.
We are not responsible for the results.
No, we're not here to fix them.
We are responsible to present the truth, to try to lead them into the truth, and then we have to leave it in God's hands and know that He's not finished with them. He's not finished with us, you know? And so we can be gracious even when they don't walk into that truth right then.
You know, as you're talking, and I'm thinking even about the converse to this, like the other side to this, like when you get a group that's really like it's like every point you're saying is hitting, you know, the Lord's doing a work, the deep healing's happening, the eyes are opening, you know, they're being enlightened, all this stuff, they're having great revelation and they're drawing near to God. The temptation to think that we've done something in that is really there, and it's very subtle. And so I love how God will bring us women that are a little more difficult in that, and since in that they're a little closed off, because then, you know, it's really not about us. And that's what I have to keep telling myself, because I fall into that trap a lot where, like, man, it's right there. Like, you can't, how come you can't shift and see that? You know, it's like she can't turn that corner. And then I get checked in my own spirit, because I think because she's not ready, right? Mm-hmm. We're all, like you said, we're all on our own journey, and really it's God's timing. And you know, we're here to, some will plant, some will water, but God gives the increase always. And if we just remember that sometimes we're just planting and we'll never see the fruit. Sometimes we're just watering, and we get to see some fruit, but ultimately the biggest increase is going to come from God, and we're not always going to see that. And just to be okay with that, and really because there's freedom, so much freedom when we can relax in that, because then we're not, oh, what, it's really not that I'm doing something wrong or bad or that I'm being a bad leader, but that they're just not ready, and that's okay.
You know, in that same group, I had another situation with a lady. You were talking about forgiveness, you know, being able to truly forgive, and she was long-term marriage to the father of the baby that they aborted, and lots of hurt and marriage issues, and she's living that forgiveness daily. You know, it she's being confronted with the outcome of it daily, and you know, she was saying, "How do I know that I've really forgiven?" You know, and again, it was just little baby steps. You know, she's going to have to continue to walk in that every day. It's not going to be a one and done thing, of course, as we teach with forgiveness. But in a situation like that, there's going to be ups and downs. But we've given her the tools now to daily be able to go back and to choose to forgive.
And that's such a good point, because when we can relax, and this I speak about this from my own personal experience, because I know when I can just relax literally and let my hands off and just keep presenting the material and keep trusting the Lord, even though it's frustrating to hit a wall, when you're hitting that brick wall all the time, they can sense that. So they can sense when you're pushing them, and some are more sensitive to that feeling of manipulation than others, because in some respects, if we keep pushing them, that's what we're doing, and it's not our job. So like I
And
had a
are we
lady,
loving well no matter what she ch decides? Are we
that's right,
still loving well? Yes.
accepting them no matter where her, her beliefs land on this. We had a lady come through this year, lots of pain. I mean, she knew that what she did was abort her baby, but we would have she when it came to the idea of regret, she kept saying, no, my ex-husband was abusive, I don't regret. And I made a comment in class, because it's something that I've made before and never didn't think twice about it. There's a point where denial, regret kicks in, and that's when we realize, oh my gosh, I need healing. And she said to me, in a private conversation, she called me and she said, I'm never going to get to that point. She was firmly and soundly convinced in her mind that she would never regret her decision. And I wasn't going to sit there and argue that with her. I realized at that point, I was making a very, I know, a truthful statement, because of what we've watched so many women go through this. And I have my own story of waiting, until regret really hit. And I know that when God takes her there, she'll have the tools, like you said, and she'll be able to, like, for most of us, when we got to that point of regret, we didn't have any tools, and we're like hitting rock bottom. Oh my gosh, now what do I do? But she will have tools and know that there's more resources out there for her. So I think if we can keep the big picture in mind, that God's going to let, it goes back to the struggle. Linda, you and I were talking about this a minute ago. It's okay to let people struggle in their faith. It's okay for us to struggle in our faith. And in fact, that's a really good place for us to be. God let me struggle in my faith for years, decades, decades. But now I'm on the other side of it, and my faith is so firm and so solid right now that it's more so than it ever was before. And I attribute it because he let me struggle, because he was in the struggle with me. So when we think about Jacob was, a deceiver, a manipulator, right? And he was going back to hit the land that God told him to return to, and he knew Esau was coming. Well, that night he wrestled with the Lord, right? He wrestled with the angel of the Lord. I mean, I don't know if we've had this conversation, so if I'm repeating myself, all to all of our listeners, forgive me, but it's so important, because God could have easily plucked him off and said, would you stop wrestling with me? Stop. But he didn't. He let Jacob wrestle with him. And we don't know if there was more to this conversation, but we do know that Jacob said, I'm not letting go until you bless me. I can only imagine in my mind that what that means is, don't let me go, Lord, until you make me different. I don't like the way I am. Like, I'm really struggling with these thoughts, these beliefs, this, I really, please, Lord, bless me. I don't know that Jacob said those words, but I know that he was scared to death to see Esau, and he knows that he deceived Esau. And so that's how, where I'm concluding that from. And I know my own life, those have been the, some of the prayers that I've struggled with. God, I am not leaving until you change me. I'm not leaving this spot until you make me different.
And it's
And
through the struggles and through the pain and through the doubts
yeah.
that
So
we get changed.
the Jacob that entered that struggle was not the same Jacob that exited that struggle. And so in this culture, in our American life, everything has to be easy. We have to rescue everybody. We have to tell them that, you know, oh, we have to give them all the advice so that they can stop struggling when maybe they're right where God wants them to be.
And we think our little programs and our little Bible studies are going to automatically cycle everybody through to victory in the end. And that's
Yeah.
not the way it works. It's about people. It's not about our programs.
Right. And you know, the
Yeah.
butterfly, it when it's in the cocoon and it's struggling to get out, if we break that cycle, that struggle, it won't be able to fly. And it's the same in our spiritual walk. So I would encourage anyone who's leading a group, who's struggling in their group because they just feel like the information's not getting through, like they're right there and they can't turn that corner, to just back off and let them be right there. And be okay with the struggle. Let them encourage them actually to embrace the struggle. Like, I see that you're struggling with this. Like we talk about in our groups, you know, God died because not because you were good, but because he is good. And I can see that there's a disconnect in some of the ladies. And so I'll tell them as I repeat that over and over and over. And then I'll tell them, you might not, this might not be getting deep inside of you right now, but that's okay. Keep meditating on this because one day it will, and when it does, you'll be free. You'll be free of this whole idea that you have to forgive yourself or you have to, you know, whatever the thing is.
And it's always good to remind ourselves too on these hard ones that people walked away from Jesus.
Yes, and Jesus
They
blessed them.
confronted the Son of God
Right.
and said, no, thank you, and walked away. You know, and I don't think we're doing something right if we don't have some that just simply walk away. And it's
Yeah.
okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
We can trust the Lord that He's working.
I was recently reading in Matthew, and there's a, it's probably several times in there, but there was one that really just stood out to me, that the Pharisees came to, no, Jesus died, right? And he was put in the tomb. And the religious leaders of the day came to whoever was in charge, I can't remember, maybe Pilate, and said, we remember his words that he would rise again. And I
They
thought
heard
to myself,
it.
that's right. They had the words of truth in them, but they are adamantly and opposed to it and rejecting them within themselves. So we can be giving all the right words, but it's up to them to really want to receive that truth. All right. You know, something else that has been a topic for especially new leaders that coming through, I get the privilege of facilitating with Livette Vassar on the Freedom and Set Free University with CareNet, being the lead, one of the lead facilitators on there. For the ladies that are coming through, whether they're new to Freedom and Set Free or not, some are have been around. They just want to go through the training and see, you know, what it's about and if it's going to help them. But they're asking questions about co-leads and what's a good role for a co-leader, you know, and what about the non-pushed board of co-leader? You know, do they go through training? Do they, you know, what do you do with them? How do they, you know, that kind of thing. And really, I guess, Linda, you've had so much experience with co-leaders. You know, I'd love to hear what you have to say about this, but I think the bottom line is it's what works best for you and your organization and that co-leader, I think. But
Every
Linda.
situation is different. It's interesting that you brought that up. You know, back in the old days, back in the 80s and 90s, you know, we were against, I think most of us were against having co-leaders or leaders for that matter that don't have an abortion in their past. And I think there's a new thing is really happening, and I know we've talked about it several times on here that we see this as a real opportunity to not only draw in a whole new group of women to into the ministry, but what it does is it they represent the church. They represent the body of Christ that hasn't had an abortion, that can still empathize and understand
Oh,
and
yes.
accept those of us that have had abortions.
Yeah.
So I think I have definitely changed my mind in the last years that it's a very, very valuable thing to have.
Yes.
I still like either the co-leader or the leader, one of them, to have an abortion because I think it does cross some bridges there. But to have one that isn't, I think, is a very good thing too, because they can represent the church and those that haven't experienced this as
Yeah.
an accepting and understanding person. Yeah, the role of a co-leader, and I think what you said is good, that it depends a lot on the personality of the people. I
Yeah.
think if we get too rigid and it has to be this way, it's not good, because we all bring different gifts to the table. You know, some are great listeners, some are great teachers, and to find a good balance is a good thing. So I think the role of a co-leader, though, is vital. I have done groups by myself, and it's not as good as when you've got another set of eyes and ears that are watching. And I tend to be the one that's focused on what I'm going to say next. And to have a co-leader there that's watching their reaction, watching their eyes, taking notes, because I'll forget because I'm old. You know, some of those things that a co-leader could do. And as a leader, to know your strengths and weaknesses and be able to talk to a co-leader and say, you know, this is where I really need you to strengthen me as a team as we work together. And I've done it all different ways. We've had co-leaders that were truly co, where we were both doing the same, taking 1 week being the lead and trading off week
What was
by
that like
week.
for you?
That was different. She was a strong leader. Our styles were very different, and I think it worked well because I think we each identified maybe with different women in the group on a different level. So it was good. Personally, it was a little bit harder for me to keep the continuity of where I was going with it. So it just depends again on personalities and how that goes. But I don't think there's any one way that's right or wrong.
No, and I think we have to evaluate each person and each group and each session. Like, for instance, I co-led a group with a friend of mine. We did a couple, and we were sort of tag. We weren't just doing like one session she did, one session I did. We were tag teaming it within the session. And like you, I like messed up my rhythm. I didn't even realize I had a rhythm to how I led, and it was just messing my rhythm up. You know, and in all transparency, when I'm in the cohort, Levette and I are tag teaming it like that in each cohort meeting. And I get a little tripped up because when I'm not leading, I'm not thinking about leading. When I am, I am. And so it's hard for me to transfer back and forth in that mindset. So I like that I'm doing this with Levette in a more relaxed type of setting because it's helping me get out of that comfort zone and stretching me some, which I like that. And I love meeting the ladies. But within the group setting, I prefer, just because of my personality style, to have them be a support, like Linda, what you were saying, just taking notes, watching, observing, interacting, though. They're not sitting there quiet.
Right. I think that's very important, and contributing their own experiences, and definitely being a participant. I think if they're too quiet, I've had some that were so quiet that you kind of forgot they were there, you know.
And
And
the
I
people
need that
get a little
input. I need that
uncomfortable.
input. Yeah, for her to like. Oh, I've had a couple that did such a good job at asking good questions, which Mindy, you're the queen of, and. Something that she said that I didn't pick up on, she came back and asked a good question about it and got her to open up
That
more.
is so
That's
valuable.
a huge help. Yeah.
So understanding your leadership style, I think, is first and foremost key. You know, what works best for you so that your rhythm isn't messed up, right? So that you're doing your best as in leading that group. But where does God want you to stretch? I think would be the second thing, you know, and where's an appropriate place to do that stretching, right? Is it really within a tender group, or is it within a more mature group, or is it in a different group style altogether, different kind of a Bible study, just to get used to that? And then knowing your co-leader, because like all of our leaders that come on, we evaluate them based on kind of where they're at, right? And so I know, Linda, when you came on, you've been teaching these or leading these for 25 years, I didn't really feel like you needed to go through a group, but you wanted to because you'd never done virtual. So you sort of, I think you, if I remember correctly, you sort of quasi co-led with me, but sort of participated at the same time. I think that's how that went.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly, but I love Zoom. It opened my eyes.
And so right now we have a gal coming on, and she's never done Zoom. And so I decided we did, well, her and I decided together, because she's done Deeper Still retreats, that she ought to go through as a participant so she understands what the participants are going through. Because that's important, to being a co-lead. But then another gal came on, she's done Zoom groups, and so I'm just letting her co-lead with you instead of her going through as a participant. So we're kind of tailoring it. We're not saying this is a one size fits all for everybody, because honestly, when people say to me, "Well, you have to go through my group as a participant," I'm to the point where I've talked about my story so much, and I've talked about, I've applied the scriptures so deeply to this part of my story. I don't know that there's anything else in my, I really don't. It, I feel like I'm making it happen, like, God, do I really have to like go there again when I don't even think there's anything there to go to? So it's one of those things, and which we do kind of, but we do evaluate them based on their maturity level and based on their knowledge of scripture. And you can tell when somebody's a wounded person still. And I think that's the biggest fear that we all have is, are they biblically accurate, for one? And is there wounds there that they are maybe intentionally burying, or maybe just completely blind to? Somebody who's constantly offended by people, I don't think I would want her leading in my groups, kind of a thing. I'd be a little leery about that, because who knows where she's going to get offended and then rise up and, say something and hurt somebody. So they just have to be stable, I think, emotionally and mentally and spiritually. So that's kind of what
And
I'm hearing
if your
from.
co-leader is new, Mindy, what can we as the primary leader do to help prepare her to step into full ministry?
Well, see, now we do have all of our leaders go through Reproductive Loss Network, and they changed the name of their 4-hour training, but it is a virtual 4-hour training. We do try to have all of our leaders go through that because it's a really good training for the helper. And anybody who's brand new, I suggest they go out to Support After Abortion and do their, I think it's a 7-session go at your own pace training. Video training, and that's free. So I just have them go out there and do that. But then at that point, if they're brand new, I'll make them go through as a participant, especially virtually.
I'm thinking
What
those
if,
are all great
am I missing
resources. And, you
something?
know, we didn't used to have that kind of resources, so we are so blessed. But as I'm co-leading, I mean, as I have a co-leader, what can I do as a leader during that session? During that study, to help kind of nurture her along into taking on full leadership responsibilities, maybe next time around.
I think that's, well,
Think
I
of
think that
anything?
starts before the group starts, preparing her what her role is, and then for you in that particular group. It really depends. They can go through the Forgiven and Set Free if they're using Forgiven and Set Free universities, or New Secret has a training, Save One has training. So there's all kinds of trainings. But I think, honestly,
I'm giving
when
her
I
some
think,
responsibility within it.
yeah, but I think one of the best things is to teach, is to really foster and encourage that skill of listening. And listening isn't just sitting here being quiet. Listening is asking really good questions, like you were saying, your one co-leader did, really being cued in to their, to them, and because when we can ask a really good placed question, it does so much more than when we tell them something, because now it's something they're discovering and they own. They own what they're saying because they've discovered it themselves, versus me just hand feeding them something, right? I think that would be the biggest thing, my personal opinion. What do you think over the years?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I know we've talked before, and we do this is having time either before the session or after the session where the two of you are praying together
Yeah, good plan.
and discussing and have a debrief and all of those things, I think. And just being aware that you really have a dual role at that point. Not only are you leading the group, but you are training
That's true. That's
a new
true.
leader.
And then for us, we have the group leader meetings every month, and we spend the first 20 minutes letting the current leaders who are active in a group talk about the challenges and then the victories and just how they're in giving the group other group leaders a chance to speak into that, ask questions, or say, hey, what about this? And so we're sharing ideas, but we're also learning from each other at the same time, and about real time things that are happening. So it's I think it's been helpful. It's been helpful for me to hear what's going on in the groups as well, but I think it's been helpful for our whole team just to learn from one another. So, another thing that's coming up is how do we know when our ladies need to be referred to therapy, a professional therapist? And, most of us are not professionals. We have not been trained in counseling. Maybe some have biblical counseling backgrounds, but most of us just have not been trained in that. And so I just, my kind of my line, and it's sometimes hard to detect right away, is simply they are so stuck and they cannot move past. For instance, we had a gal come through, and one was through, she went through my group, then she went through your group, Linda. You'll remember her. When she first contacted me and we talked on the phone, I was asking her, why she was calling. And she started talking about her whole situation. And part of her story is that she had this, the father of the baby was just a class A jerk, really. And he was really kind of abusive, I think verbally abusive to her. And then he left her, and his family got in on pressuring her to have an abortion. Well, I was trying to go through the intake questions with her, and she kept going back to that. Now they're connected, obviously, because he's the father of the baby. But in my mind, what I started to see was that she had two issues. She didn't just have an abortion issue that she was dealing with. She had the abuse and just the poor treatment from
Relationship.
the relationship loss and all of that. And but that's where she kept going to. She couldn't even really talk about anything about the abortion itself. So I, at that point, stopped the intake call and just said, told her, affirm that you have two really big issues going on, and sometimes one can take precedence over another. And it sounds to me like your the abuse with your boyfriend, the loss of relationship, those things right now are the greater thing that's hitting your heart. And so I would recommend therapy for you. And she had a therapist. I think we gave her our therapist names. I can't remember. She called about 6 months later to go through a group, and she sounded ready. We made it through the intake. She got into the group and she started talking about the boyfriend in depth. I am not opposed to talking about the things that touch abortion, because abortion doesn't come by itself. But I'm not one of those that's going to go deep into those things generally. And when she got on the topic of her boyfriend, I suggested to her, because she was in therapy, I suggested, if you can take the topic of your boyfriend and talk with your therapist about it, and then you could come in here and talk about the abortion side of your this problem, this issue with you. This might work really well for you if you think you can do that. And she looked at me and she said, "You know what? I think I can do that." And she did. She made it through. And then she felt like she needed more, and she went through your group later that last year, Linda. And but I think it's when they keep circling back, and you're on this loop. This loop that you just can't get off, and you're like, wait, what's going on? And oh, they're stuck. Okay. This is probably beyond.
So she's got to deal with it outside of what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever had to refer somebody? Do you have a way of indicating how you know that?
No, I really don't. It seems like more and more we're finding women that are already in counseling of some sort.
Oh, yeah.
It's becoming so much more accepted,
Right.
that it doesn't have the stigma that it used to.
Right.
Especially the younger gals, they often are already in some sort of therapy,
Right.
which may be sometimes more harmful than good,
Right.
because they're getting a
Right.
different, totally different message from the other side of it. I think that they're stuck somewhere, that the issue is outside of what we're dealing with, or that it involves some difficult relationships. I think is they need some, at least some biblical counseling, church counseling, if nothing else,
Right.
that they've got somebody else in their life that's helping them work through these other issues.
Right. So some suggestions, if you find that you have to refer somebody to offer to stay in touch with them as a prayer partner, or just to stay in touch to see how they're doing. You know, is it okay if I check in with you once in a while, or if I, you know, send you a prayer or send you a text, just letting them know that you're not just like referring them and they're done, you know,
Dumping them,
anything.
yeah.
Yeah. But and usually they're all for that. Oftentimes they say yeah, and then after a few weeks, sometimes they're just like, I'm not gonna respond anymore to her, you know, kind of they'll let you go, but that way they know that they can come back to you know, that you care about them. Something LaVette mentioned that I thought was a really good idea is if you're referring someone to counseling and they continue in your group, offer to send that counselor a book so they know where they're at in the group. And then that way the counselor will know what they're dealing with in the group and that kind of thing.
I love
Again,
that.
that might not go well with some, you know, secular counselors, but it should go well with the Christians, I believe. So. And then I guess the final topic that we're going to discuss today is as a leader, how do we know when we need to have some more personal care? And I don't mean self-care. What I mean is more heart work. And you know, when we're taking ladies through, it's easy to get triggered. It's easy for those wounds to get nicked again, or it's easy for that anger to come back up. And you know, if it's a one-time thing and it goes away, I would say, you know, let it be that one-time thing, or that, you know, it doesn't much happen in groups. Maybe it's happening outside a group or something. But one thing I've kind of learned through my own experience of the burnout season of my life is that we come in, right? We're a participant of abortion recovery, and then we decide we're going to lead, whether it's in the pregnancy center or in a group setting, you know, with abortion recovery, and then life starts to happen and these heavy things start to add up. Or maybe they're not so heavy that they just kind of we start shoving them back, putting them back on the shelf back here, like, oh, I have to be on, I have to be available, I have to be ready, I don't have time to deal with these kinds of things. But the reality is those things pile up, and if we don't take care of those things, they'll eventually become so, like the Bible tells us in Hebrews 12 too, we are to lay aside all weight and sin that so easily ensnares us. If it were not shedding those weights, we're going to get tripped up, we're going to get ensnared. And you know, we can succumb to pride. Well, I can do this by myself with the Lord. And maybe you can, you know, I fall into that a lot. And I think that there's a place for that, to personal one-on-one closeness with the Lord and just really diving in and let him deal with things. But sometimes we need somebody else to walk us through, right? How many, I cannot, I'm, where am I trying to go with this? There have been several of our clients lately, our participants lately, who have a professional counseling or therapist degree, but didn't know what to do with their abortion. They needed somebody to walk them through that heart issues, that pain. And so there are other kinds of grief, if you will, in our life. Those are the weights that, you know, we can be grieving the loss of a relationship, or a loss of a dream, or, you know, loss of a child being saved, or, you know, maybe a child changing their whole identity. You know, we can be grieving a whole lot of things. It's not necessarily death, but those become weights on us, or maybe good health we're grieving, you know, or who knows. It could even be, we think smaller things, but when they add up, they become heavy. And so I just want to encourage all of us, and this is for myself, that when those happen, to seek somebody to help you walk through it, whether it's a counselor or a therapist. But like we're offering at an Even Place, because this is so near and dear to my heart, we're offering there's a book that's been written. It's been written for a while. It's called Refuge, and it's a general grief study, Bible study book, about 8 weeks long. And we're going to be offering that in June. We have four leaders signed up for that, as they have recognized, you know, there's some things in my life that are weighing me down and are going to get in the way. And if I don't deal with these things, I'm not going to be effective in the kingdom, or I'm going to be, my effectiveness is going to be greatly diminished, you know. So
So we're a body. We need each other. We're all about networking and
Yeah.
knowing that you're not alone out there. And
Yeah.
who do you go to? You don't sometimes have somebody to go to right off. So we need each other in that.
Well, Linda, it was fun today. Just you and me
We covered a
chit-chatting.
lot. That's
I
great. It's been
know.
great. I hope all of you out there listening could glean something out of our rambling today.
Yeah.
And it's been great. We appreciate you joining us.